If you have your Bible, turn to Matthew chapter 25. Matthew chapter 25. We do appreciate the Lord. Amen. The Bible says then, Matthew 25, verse 1, it says, "Then shall the kingdom of heaven be likened to 10 virgins, which took their lamps and went forth to meet the bridegroom. And 5 of them were wise, and 5 were foolish. They that were wise took their lamps and took their lamps and took no oil with them. But the wise took oil in their vessels with their lamps. And while the bridegroom tarried, they all slumbered and slept. And at midnight there was a cry made, 'Behold, the bridegroom cometh. Go ye out to meet him.' Then all those virgins rose and trimmed their lamps. And the foolish said unto the wise, 'Give us of your oil, for our lamps are gone out.' But the wise answered, saying, 'Not so, lest there not be enough for us and you. Go ye rather to them that sell and buy for yourselves.' And while they went to buy, the bridegroom came, and they that were ready went in with him to the marriage, and the door was shut. Afterward came also the other virgins, saying, 'Lord, Lord, open to us.' But he answered, said, 'Verily I say unto you, I know you not. Watch therefore, for you know neither the day nor the hour wherein the Son of Man cometh.'" I want to preach for just a minute or two this morning, if God will be my help, on this thought: no hurry. No hurry. As we look at this and we see the Word of God, and we see the Bible teaches here in Matthew, he said, the kingdom of heaven, then shall the kingdom of heaven be likened to 10 virgins. And the Bible begins to minister to us these virgins. Now, I want you to notice some things about these 10 virgins. These 10 virgins, see, praise God, we need to realize that they come to a place and we see them and we really see no difference in them. Amen. It doesn't give us any significance difference in these virgins. What we see is no external distinction of these 10 virgins. If you look at them and see them and notice them, pay attention to them, you'd think they were all about the same. They were all come, probably all come, and they were probably all dressed about alike, and they all had the same things, had all the same essentials, and they come and they brought their lamps, and they come together. And if we just noticed that part, we probably wouldn't notice any great distinction. They praise the Lord. And they all came for the same purpose. All 10 of them were waiting on the bridegroom's coming. Amen. They were all excited. They said there's going to be a wedding. And all 10 of these virgins were waiting. They were excited about the bridegroom coming. Now, you know the story, how it played out at that time. The bridegroom would come, and there was no telling when he would come. Sometimes he'd come of a morning. Sometimes he'd come at noon or of an evening. Sometimes he could even come at midnight. Amen. So it was a kind of an unexpected thing. It was to be a surprise for the bride. Amen. And so he would come, and they would all be anticipating. They would be looking for it, and they would come together and be anticipating and waiting for that moment, that hour, when the bridegroom would come, because they wanted to be able to go in with the bridegroom and with the bride in the procession to the feast. Amen. Now, I know us being Baptists, we all like good feasts. They say Baptists are 20% heavier than the rest of the denominations because when we get together, we like to eat. Amen. Now, praise the Lord. I like good food, don't you? Amen. Amen. But so we see them as they're trying to get, they're lined up, they're waiting, they're anticipating this thing, they're getting ready, amen, for the bridegroom. They're looking for him. Now the Bible tells us here that they were 5 wise and they were 5 foolish. Amen. I believe that the Bible teaches here that they were 5 of these ladies, 5 of these virgins that were true believers. They were born again believers. They had the Holy Ghost of God on them. They'd been born again right through the Lord Jesus Christ. And then there were 5 of them that were professed Christians. Amen. I believe we're living in a world today where there's a lot of professed Christianity. There's a lot of people that profess Christ, but they don't have Christ living in their hearts. Amen. Praise God. They have a profession without a possession. Amen. And you say, "Well, preacher, are you judging? Are you being judgmental here?" No, I'm just telling you the facts. That's what we see, and we see it so many times in so many different places. I believe if a child of God loves the Lord, amen, you've been born again, truly born again, I believe God will help you to stay in the good fight of faith all the way to the end of the way. Amen. Amen. But we see so many times in these people that profess Christianity, amen, in our churches today, and churches all over the place are full of them. People that profess Christianity, but they've truly never been born again. You say, "Pastor, are you trying to get us to doubt our salvation?" No. Praise God, we need to know that we know. Peter said, "Make your call and election sure." Make sure you know, remember, the day that the Holy Ghost of God spoke your heart. Not daddy called, not mama called, not said that you're saved because papa said so or because some preacher said so, but I'm saved because Lord Jesus Christ touched my heart on Wednesday night, 1976, let me know that I was an old lost sinner. I knew it before then, but praise God, on that night of 1976, he showed me an old lost sinner. I knew I was going to die and go to hell, and I come out of there and I said, Lord, please forgive me a sinner and save me by your marvelous grace. You say, what did you do? I said, I made my call and election sure. I come out of there, I said, Lord Jesus, I know you're speaking to my heart. I know that you love me. And I know that you died for me. I know that because you died for me that you want to save me. And Lord, I need to be saved. Amen. You say, preacher, that's just too simple. The Bible said, so simple a little child can do it. Just realize that the Bible said we've all sinned, come short of the glory of God. And we just fall on our face and say, Lord, I'm an old sinner. I need a Savior. And Lord, I know, Lord Jesus, I know you're it. Amen. He's the one. He's no other. There's no other name given by men whereby you must be saved.
Amen.
Amen. We can look all over this world. You can find, I've said time and time behind this pulpit, I can give you a list of things. I can put out a list front and back on a college rule paper and say, if you'll do these items front and back, you're a sure win. You'll get to go to heaven. Praise God. I guarantee you'll get in. And people would line up at the door to get them. They'd line up for miles to get them so they could go begin to check them off so they'll get to heaven. And all they got to do is believe on Lord Jesus Christ and be saved. Amen?
Amen.
Praise God. And if you say truly born again, amen, there'll be fruit in your life. Matthew says in Matthew chapter 7, verse 16, he said, you shall know them by their fruits. Amen? You know what I believe when somebody gets truly born again? Now listen to me, church. I believe when you truly get born again, you'll have a desire for the things of God. Amen. Going to church on Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night won't be a burden no more. You'll have a desire to get to where God is, to get to where God's people is, because you're excited about one day we're going to all be together with Him in heaven, and we want to get, praise God, this is a practicing place to get in.
Amen.
I mean, I've never thought of the church as a place to get out. I've always thought of God's house, praise God, as a place where we get in. And we begin to see the magnificence, the power of an almighty God. If there's ever been a time to get in, it's right now. I was thinking as we went to the youth meeting over there in Western WNC camp meeting place, Baptist camp meeting place, praise God, yesterday. And I seen all them youngins lining up in there. I thought, well, what a blessing it is. Amen. Realize that this is the day and hour. This is the time that we need this. All of us need to be gathering together. We need to get our children in. We need to be rallying around them. Our children, our grandchildren, our loved ones, praise God, and rallying around them and getting them to the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Amen. Praise God. And we'll want to have a desire to if we have a true faith in Christ. If we've truly been born again. Amen. Praise God. We'll be gathering them up. It's not being judgmental. Praise God. We just inspecting the fruit. We're just seeing where we're at. He said they was these folks here, praise God, all come to the same place. They all come for the same purpose of seeing the bridegroom when he come, but they weren't all prepared for his coming. I'm afraid that's where we are today. I'm afraid that's why we got a lot of people that profess Christ, but they don't possess Christ. He's not living in our hearts today. Amen. Listen, there's a whole lot of things that I can't do.
Amen.
But Bill, there's a lot of things I can't think, things that I used to do, think was all right, praise God, but now the Holy Ghost of God won't let me do them.
Amen.
Amen. The Holy Ghost of God speaks to my heart. He gives me God's lead. He said, those that are led of the Spirit, praise God, were His. I belong to Him, and He won't let me do the things I used to do. I've got new directions. I've got new desires. And it bothers me, praise God, when you have people that get in. You see people come in, boy, and they'll just shine for a while. They'll get in, they'll make a profession, they'll shine for a while. Well, they'll just shine just as bright. Then they begin to flicker. And then they go out. Amen. You know what I'm talking about. Amen. We come in and we get we come out of the world and there's so much darkness out there. We come into the place where there's light and we see the marvelous light of Lord Jesus Christ. And boy, we say, boy, this is so good. And then we come in, we shine a little bit, the light shines on us, and the next thing you know, they flicker and then they go out. Amen. Why? Because they have a profession, but they don't have a possession. We don't receive the Lord Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. Amen. And we see it everywhere. It's in every church across this land. Amen? Hello? Come on, stay with me. Somebody say amen. It's everywhere today. We're seeing it. We see it on Sundays. Amen. But Sunday morning, praise God, we have a pretty good crowd. And then Sunday night, the crowd drops off. Amen. And then on Wednesday night, praise God, it's down to over half. Half the folks just stay at the house. They don't have a desire for the midweek service. I got to have that. It boosts my, hey, praise God, it reboots me. Amen. It gives me encouragement. It gives me strength, praise God, from the throne of grace. To let me know, praise Lord, that we're in this thing together. And sometimes our best services are on Wednesday nights. Have you ever thought about why that is? I believe it's because people, God's people, really want to be here. Amen. They make a commitment. Say, you know what? It's Wednesday night. It's a prayer meeting night, and we're going to go to church. Praise God, and just go meet with God's people. Going to get a little bit of encouragement, so I can make it through the next three or four days. So I can get back to Sunday where I can do it again. Amen. But we're living a day and hour that it's not that way. There's no desire for things. You see, I'm not being critical. I'm not being judgmental. I'm just seeing the fruit of the day that we're living in, and the fruit is not, it's just not there. The fruit on the vine, it's sparse. It's sporadic. It's just here and there. Amen. And the fruit ought to be more, praise God, more now than it's ever been when we see the day approaching. I believe Jesus is coming. Amen. I believe the Lord's coming, praise God, just like He said He would. I believe we need to be ready. I can't get away from that. Amen. I just can't get away. Oliver B. Green, great pressure preacher, Oliver Green said that in 1975 from South Carolina. He said, we need to be preaching the second coming, the soon coming Lord Jesus Christ. He said, if we're not, said we're missing the whole gospel of Christ. Amen. The whole purpose is Jesus Christ to come. We need to be ready, looking, anticipating the second coming of the Son of God. Amen. But we don't see it. We see men and women, pray God, falling by the wayside. Amen. There's a whole lot of folks that's faithful to church. You know, the materialistic part. Amen. The getting things done and the social affairs and things we do. You see a lot of people that really get into those things. But what about the spiritual side? Amen. This is a shouting message this morning. Praise God. Think about it. You may not think so, but it is. The spiritual side, what God wants to do for us today. Amen, praise God. It's sadly lacking. Our spiritual thinking. Let me ask you a question. Don't raise your hand. How many of you during the day, during the week, when you're not at church, think about the things of God? Amen. As a child of God, we ought to be thinking about spiritual things all the time. The goodness of God. Amen. We ought to be praying and seeking His face. Praying to God every day, talking to God every day. Talked to a young lady last night. I said, you know, how do you pray? Where's God at? God's in your heart. You don't have to talk real loud to talk to Him. He lives in your heart. If you've been saved and born again, He lives in your heart. All you got, you can whisper, praise God, and He can hear you. And He is our Heavenly Father, and He loves to hear from me and you. Amen. God, our Father, loves to hear from me and you. You know, preacher, I don't know if he wants to hear from me or not. He does. He wants you to talk to him. He wants to have communion with you. He wants to have fellowship with you. And when you have fellowship with him, praise God, it gets God excited. He just starts pouring out his blessings on you. Amen. And you get to receiving so many of those blessings from God, those good things from the portals of glory. You get to can't help it. You get to where you get to praise Him and just magnify His name. And the more you do that, the more God bless you, the more He pours out. And praise the Lord. Next thing you know, it's running over here and it's running over there. And people's getting excited about the things of God. Praise the Lord. And they're realizing there's something that's so magnificent about His power and His grace and His mercy and His love and what He does for you and what He has for you, what He wants to give to you, the way He wants to help you, the way He wants to show you, the way He wants to guide you. Praise God. Listen, it's not no longer about this world, but it's about you. Amen. Amen. You say, preacher, I don't understand that. It don't make good sense. Let me tell you why it don't make sense. You don't realize that Jesus died for you. Amen. Jesus Christ died for you that through Him, praise God, you might have everlasting life and have it, He said, in abundance.
Amen.
Amen. Glory, hallelujah. We just need to praise Him today. Thanking Him for His goodness, His mercy, and His love that He's bestowed upon us, that He gives to us just because He can. Amen. Praise His name. I'm glad it's that way, ain't you? That's enough to make Kolbab to shout. Amen. Glory, hallelujah. What a Savior, what a Lord. The ministering Spirit of God. Amen. He knows the thoughts and intents of your heart. That's a scary thing, ain't it? Not only does He know what you think, amen, He knows what's in your heart. And what you think and what's in your heart is what's going to come out of your mouth. Amen. Amen. From the abundance, the Bible says, from the abundance of your heart, the mouth speaks.
Amen.
I wonder what's coming out of us today. Amen. You said, preacher, I thought you said this is a message on no hurry. I'm a getting there. I'm a hurrying. Amen. Just be, amen. Praise God. Bless His holy name. So we see this thing played out. But we need to find a spiritual side of it. Because we need to be about the Father's business, giving the Word of God, touching us other people with the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. He said, if I be lifted up, I'll draw all men to me. I can't get past that verse. I mean, praise God, the Lord brings that to my probably dozens of times a day. If I be lifted up, I'll draw all men unto me. Praise God. You say, what do we do, preacher? We just lift up the name of Jesus. That's the only thing we got. That's, praise God, that's what works. We lift up the name of Jesus. We give people the gospel, Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. So we see these. Now, internally or externally, there's no difference in these people, these 10 virgins, these 10 ladies. But praise God, internally, there's something that's different. There's something that's unique, amen, to these five wise virgins that these 10, the five foolish virgins didn't have. Amen. Praise God, the glory of God in their lives. Praise God, they was geared up, set up, and they was ready for the bridegroom to come. Amen. You say, preacher, how did that take place? By being born again. Amen. Being born, praise God, through Lord Jesus Christ, a free pardon of sin. Take your Bible and look at John chapter number 3. John chapter number 3, the Bible says this in verse number 3. Well, verse number 2, I said, verse number 1, they said, there was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. The same came to Jesus by night and said unto him, Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher come from God, for no man can do these miracles that thou doest except God be with him. Amen. Who was with Jesus? God. Amen. And Jesus answered and said unto him, except, very, very, I say unto thee. You know, God, the Lord speaks personally to us if we'll listen. He was speaking personally to Nicodemus. He said, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. And Nicodemus said to him, how can a man be born when he's old? And how can he enter a second time in his mother's womb and be born? He was confused. And Jesus answered, said, verily, verily, I say unto thee, you, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. So what was the Lord talking about? The water and the Spirit. The water is the type of the Word of God. Yeah. Amen. And the Word of God, praise God, brings the Spirit of God to touch the soul, praise God, of man so that man can be saved. The Bible says that you're saved, you're begotten by the foolishness of the Word. Amen. It's not foolish preaching, but it's the foolishness of the Word, praise God. Those that men disallow and disregard, amen, that say that we really don't need. And the Spirit of God, it manifests itself, lets us know that we need to be saved. Every one of us needs to be born again. Amen. Praise God. So how does that take place? Look over at John chapter 14. John chapter 14, salvation of God. Man, you must be born again. But he goes on, John chapter 14 and verse 16. And Jesus says this. He said, I will pray the Father and He shall give you another comforter that He may abide with you forever. And He tells us who that is. He said, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth Him not, neither knoweth Him, but you know Him, for He dwelleth with you and shall be where? in you. Amen? So we see the Bible teaches us here that they was these three wise virgins, and they had the touch of God on them. They were been born again. Amen. They had the Holy Ghost of God living in their soul. That's that oil for the lamp, praise God, that'll get you through the circumstances that we face and get us on to the other side of glory with Jesus. Amen. But notice something takes place in the life of these ladies. The Bible says we have five that were foolish and five that were wise. And they tarried together. Amen. And the Bible says here, verse number 5 said that while the bridegroom tarried, they all slumbered and slept. They got weary in waiting. Amen. They got weary in waiting. And they slumbered. They took a little nap. They took a siesta. Amen. Now notice that they were side by side. They were together. You had five that had been born again, saved by the marvelous grace of God. You had five that professed to know the Lord Jesus Christ. But I want to say the devils and demons of hell, I know who Jesus is, but they're still lost devils and demons of hell. Amen. Bible, Jesus told Nicodemus, you must be born again. You got to be born from above. You got to have that new birth. Amen. You got to have a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. You have to know Him and the free pardon of sin. And the world today that we're living, we see these, they're slumbered and slept together. What should they have been doing? I thought about this yesterday. I sat in the study. I thought, you know, if them wise virgins, if they had begun to be a witness to those others. But you know why they're not? Brother Bill, you know why they weren't a witness to them? Because they assumed that everything was all right. I want to say today we cannot assume. You know what that does? We can't assume anything. We have to ask. We have to know that all of our youngins, all of our grandyoungins, all of our family, our friends, our brothers, our sisters, our mamas and daddies, praise God, are born again believers. We've got to know, preacher. You say, how are you going to know, preacher? We need to ask them. Amen. You say, well, that's kind of rude just out and ask them. No, it ain't. And praise God, it shows the love of God in your heart. If those five virgins that were wise would have shared, would have been talking about Jesus and magnifying Lord God of heaven and excited about the soon coming bridegroom. The Jew was supposed to be lifting up the name of Jehovah, praise God. That's what God called him to do. His elect was called to lift up His name and give God glory, to give other folks an opportunity to know Him. Amen. The Lord Jesus Christ saves you and me so we can have an opportunity to tell others about it so that they can know Him. But they failed. They failed miserably. Amen. Why would they be? Because they got weary in well-doing. They got weary in the wait. And they said, you know what? I guess they're okay. And you know, it may be a while before He gets here. So we'll just rest again. We don't take opportunity. But you know what? Let me just tell you what the devil done. The devil has. I can see the devil. He calls together his demons. And he said, you know what? We've got to come up with a plan that we can deceive man. Amen. So we can take him away from God. That's what the devil wants to do. He wants to steal you and your children and your family away from God. That's his purpose. That's his plan. That's what he does. He wants to be your God. He wants to steal you away. He says, so demon, what can we do that'll steal them away from God, that'll deceive them? Then one little demon sticks up his hand. He says, oh, I know. It's odd. What can we do? He said, let's just tell them that there is no God. Let's just tell them that. Let's just talk to them. Let's just tell them that there's no God, and then we'll get them. Satan said, "Nah, that ain't gonna work, because even nature itself proclaims that there is a God." He said, "They can look around. Ain't it amazing how much the devil knows about God? He knows more about God than me and you do." Amen. He said, "Nah, that'll never work, because even nature itself proclaims that there's a God." Amen. That'll never work. Now their little demon sticks. Oh, I know. He said, demon, what do you got? He said, let's just tell them that there is no hell. There's no place of punishment. There's no place in the afterlife where men will suffer and be judged. Let's just tell them that. And the devil said, no, demon, that ain't going to work. That ain't going to work because people's too smart to realize. He said, they know that there's going to be a retribution, that there's a judgment someday. People, everybody in their heart of hearts, in their mind, know that one day we're going to have to give account for what we do. The devil's a pretty sly rascal, ain't he? But then I can see that old third devil, that old third demon. It's a silence for a little while, and all of a sudden there's a hand in the back comes up. Little demon back there. Old Satan looked at him and said, back there, I said, what do you think? He said, well, Mr. Satan, if we can't get them by telling them that there's no God, and if we can't get them by telling them there's no hell, let's get them by telling them there's no hurry. Let's get them by telling them that they just wait, they can put it off, they don't have to get saved today, they don't have to live for the Lord today. Let's just tell them that they don't have to get in a hurry, there's no hurry about this salvation thing. Tell them to just whisper in her ear and say, you know what? I know the Holy Ghost is dealing with you. He's pulling on your heart. But just, hey, just wait another day. Wait till another time. Put it off. Don't do it now. Don't get in no hurry. You know, you got a lot of things you got to get done before you make this big old step. Amen. And the demons of hell went out every day because they say that there's no hurry. They tell the folks, just like they told these, probably told these five virgins, five wives. Amen. There's no hurry. You know, let's get us a good night's sleeping in the morning. I can see them as they gather around, maybe all five of them. Just full of the Spirit of God, excited about the soon coming, praise God, bridegroom. And I say, you know what we got to do in the morning? But Chris said, in the morning we've got to get these ladies, they say something not right. I just don't feel, my spirit don't bear witness with it. In the morning we've got to tell them. We got to ask them. We got to know. Amen. But then before the morning comes, at the midnight hour, amen, the bridegroom comes. The call goes out. The trumpet sounds. They say, the bridegroom's coming. Go ye out to meet him. Amen. Want to be in that procession with the bridegroom and the bride as they go to the feast. And the five wives rise up. And as they go out, the five foolish say, wait a minute. Our lamps have gone out. We haven't no oil. Please give us of your oil. And they say, I can't do it. We can't give you of our oil. Amen. You can't offer anybody your salvation. Every man, woman, boy, and girl has to be saved on their own accord. Amen. They have to believe on Lord Jesus Christ just like I did. Accept Him in a free pardon of sin and be born again. Get on the road, praise God. But these they go out and they said, you have to go to them. And he said, not so, lest there be not enough for us. And you go ye rather to them that sell and buy for yourselves. He said, this is something you've got to do for yourselves, and we can't give it to you. Said, you got to have it. That Spirit of God, you got to have it. You got to have that Spirit within you. But that's why, that's how we're led. That's how we're directed. You've got to have that. It ain't enough that Mamaw's got it or Papaw's. I've heard so many times. A fella right down the road, he said, my mama was a godly woman. And I guess she was. Praise God for that. But mama being a godly woman won't get you to heaven. Her witness will help. Her life will help. Her godliness will help. But we've got to have, you've got to have, I've got to have the Lord Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior. I've got to have that oil in my lamp so that I can light that, so that the light will shine forth, and it'll shine forth into a lost and a dying world, that folks can see the light of Jesus Christ, praise God, and come to know Him in a free pardon of sin. Amen. Praise the Lord. We accept the Lord Jesus Christ. Praise God. The Bible says that today is the appointed time. This is the time to be saved. Today is the day of salvation. Not tomorrow, next week. They said, well, preacher, there's no hurry. I'm still young. Let me tell you about being young. There was a fellow over here on Highway 26 this week. Amen. He was doing surveying or something, in his early 20s. And he was backed over by a piece of equipment. Took him out in just a moment of thought time. Gone out of here. Amen. You might not have tomorrow. There is a hurry. We need to be in a hurry about getting to the Lord Jesus Christ and getting in there with Him, loving Him, and letting Him love on us. Amen. Amen. Don't let the devil tell you that there's no hurry, that there's no need to be in a hurry, because today is the day of salvation. Right now, today, not tomorrow, not next week. We don't know what we don't know what tomorrow holds. But thank God in Jesus Christ our Savior, we know who holds tomorrow. Amen. He's our blessed hope, even in a time of troublesome times. Amen. We know that He's there for us. Devil will say, listen, you know, we'll never get them to believe that there's no God. We'll never get them to believe that there's no hell. Most people believe that. But they said, let's just get them to believe that there's no hurry about this thing. Tim, just take your time. Be okay. How many people the devil said, they sing that old invitation of why not tonight? Why not tonight? And old demons of hell said, ain't no use to be in no hurry. Whispered to her shoulder, sitting on a pew back somewhere. And he's whispered in her ear and said, ain't no use to be in no hurry. Take you to think about this. Think about this. Don't be in no hurry. And that person sat there, missed the invitation of God, missed the calling of God, and died and went to hell, lost without the Lord. We don't know if we'll make it home from this place today, but we know if we accept Lord Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, right now, quick, fast, and in a hurry, that the Lord Jesus Christ promised He'd be with us, and one day when this life is through, that He'll take us to be with Him where He is, which is far better. Amen.